to listen to the Left Traffic Podcast.
What is up, Lap Traffic Nation? Welcome to episode 217 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. I am your host, the professor, Brandon Crowd. Oh, well, as always, hope you all had a fantastic weekend and all that good stuff. Oh, man. First weekend since Christmas that we didn't have something going on, having to go somewhere or anything like that. So it was kind of cool just to kick back and relax for a little bit, watch some football, smoke some meat, watch Twitter lose its mind over the chili bowl. Oh, all good stuff. All good stuff. All right. So, Lap Traffic Nation, last week went live with the fantasy rules and registration, which is now open for the 2021 Lap Traffic Fantasy League. I will recap that a little later on in the show. Still plenty of time to register. I think we got about 25 new emails on top of probably 50 or 60 or so that confirmed from last year that they want to stay on. So the league is going to be nice and competitive this year, which is awesome because it's year five of the show coming up, which I'm stoked about. Let's see. If you missed last week's show with NASCAR official and flagman Joey Aycock, make sure you go check that out. It was awesome to get his perspective on what it's like being a NASCAR official. We joked around about some Michigan football in Appalachian State, for those that recall that fiasco back in 2007. Good time with Joey. Had a lot of fun, so go check that out for sure. Next week is the official kickoff to Season 5 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. I am so excited about it. Cannot believe it's year five of the show. Cannot believe the journey the show has taken me on. And to watch this growth has been incredible. Thank you to all of you who listen, interact, help spread the word. I'm truly humbled and cannot wait for season five of the Lap Traffic Kickoff. What is going to kick off next week. And to help kick off season five, I announced the first giveaway of 2021 last week, a Clint Bowyer back-to-back World War Champs 124 diecast. Everyone that's retweeted and tagged your friends and all that good stuff, I got you all logged. Keep them going. Keep retweeting and tagging people that don't follow the show so that we can get some new followers and all that good stuff. And along with the season five kickoff next week, I'm really excited. CJ Wolliver from Fox is going to be back on, and CJ and I are going to do a full show dedicated to trucks. We are going to preview the trucks next week. What are you going to get? We're going to talk and recap a little bit about 2020, some of the silly season movement within the truck series. We're going to break it down team by team almost, what we're going to expect out of the teams. We're going to talk about some of the new tracks on the schedule. I mean, we are going to go deep into the truck series next week. CJ and I have talked once already. We got a game plan laid out, and I'm excited to put that show together. So be on the lookout for a all trucks Lap Traffic Podcast next week with CJ Wolliver from Fox. But what about tonight, you ask? Well, tonight I'm pumped because Christian Eckes is going to be on the show in just a few minutes. And that is all thanks to Lap Traffic intern Dan Ryan, which is awesome. After that, I'm going to recap briefly, not as in-depth as I did last week, the fantasy rules and all that kind of stuff. And I'm going to end it with a little silly season stuff. So, you know, until we get back to racing, the formats are going to be a little bit different, as I mentioned, and all that good stuff. But going to have some fun tonight. I do want to mention a few changes for the show format once we get back racing. I'll do the usual discussion on the series that ran and all that good stuff. I worked in last year, and I'm going to really try to add in more questions that I'm going to put to you guys on social media that I can work into the show for topic points and all that good stuff. I think that went really well. Adds value to the show for sure. The Wave Around Hotline this year will be back, but not just for Lucky Dog and Lap Down Picks. It's going to be an open forum on the Wave Around Hotline. Anything you want to talk about, if you leave it for the Lucky Dogs, I'll play your call during then. If you leave a comment on the race, I'll work that into the race discussion. So anything you want to talk about, comments about the show, racing, Lucky Dog picks, anything, the Wave Around Hotline is open for you guys this year, and I'm really excited about adding that. So, all right, that's enough babbling. Let's get on with the show. Let's get Christian Eckes on the line. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, joining me on the line, making his second appearance on the Lap Traffic Podcast. He's finished in the top 10 over 50% of the time he's strapped in the truck. 7 wins and 46 ARCA starts, along with a championship. Oh, and by the way, he picked up a Snowball Derby win back in 2016. Welcome back to the Lap Traffic Podcast, Christian Eckes. Christian, what's going on, man? How are you?
I'm good, man. Just hanging at the crib right now. How about you?
Excellent, man. Chilling in the man cave and excited to talk to you, man. So it's funny. So huge shout out to Lap Traffic intern Dan Ryan for getting us connected, which is awesome. And when I was putting things together, I was going back through my guest list. I did not realize, but you were back on the show about 2 years ago, episode 150. So it's glad to have you back, man.
Yeah, what was that one about?
It's bad.
I have
on
to
my
go back
part.
And watch it.
I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, so, I don't remember it, but yeah, I'm sure I did it or something. Yeah.
So 68 shows later, here we are, and I'm glad to have you back, man.
No, I'm glad to be back, even though I didn't know I was back.
So hey, man, how were the holidays? Anything fun? Did you get to do anything cool? I know we're still kind of, you know, depending on where we're all at, you know, under some lockdowns and stuff. But how were the holidays?
They were good, man. My grandma came in from Texas, so we just kind of had a low-key week. You know, my sister was in for, 3 weeks, which is way too long. But it was good to see everybody, and we just kind of had a low-key family weekend.
That's awesome. Anything else planned before, you know, racing schedule gets back going or anything like that?
Nothing really big. I'm just working on house stuff. You know, I bought a house last year in September, and God, I feel like the list just never ends. So I've been doing that stuff and building fences and building stairs and all that fun architect stuff,
house,
I guess you could
housework,
say.
Housework, right?
Yeah. It never ends, man. It never ends.
That's awesome. All right, so before we get going, I was scrolling through your Twitter a little bit just to see what you had going on and stuff, and there was one non-NASCAR thing that stuck out for me, and that was Green Bay Buffalo for the Super Bowl, man.
Yeah, I'm a Denver Broncos fan, live and die, but we suck, so I mean, we're not in the playoffs, so
hey, it's
there's
better
that.
Than being a Lions fan like me. So.
Oh man, I'm sorry, but Matt Stafford needs to get out of Detroit.
Yes,
that dude is way too good to be there. But
hey, I'm with
but
you.
Anyways, I don't know. I think. Man, after seeing the Bucks this weekend, I'm not too sure on that pick. But I think the Bills are going to go to Arrowhead and beat the Chiefs this week. I still believe that. But man, I don't know. I'm really looking forward to whatever day Bucks and Packers. I guess they're both Sunday now.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yes. All right. So
I'm looking forward to that game.
All right. Since it's Bills and the Chiefs, right? Man.
Yep.
What'd you think of Mahomes' hit yesterday? Like that was, it didn't look as bad at first, but when the dude stood up, man, he was not on this planet when he stood up, man.
Yeah. I don't know if they're gonna clear him to play or not. I honestly haven't kept up with that at all, but the other dude played up, or whatever you want to call it, stepped up and played well. So I honestly thought that, you know, when he went down, that the Browns were just going to get this burst of energy and come back and win.
Yeah.
And God, who knows what would have happened if they won that game. But it's kind of crazy. I mean, it's great to see the Browns actually have some success after a while.
Right.
I like Baker Mayfield a decent amount, so.
And,
it's good for them,
and he does a great job on those commercials, man. Like,
Well, he's been better this year. He's actually focused on playing football and not making a scene. So that's probably why he's playing good.
Man, and you know, and see, look, the Browns 0-16 got to the playoffs
like literally 4 years ago.
Right,
it's crazy.
Lions went 0-16 back in 2000, whatever, and we still can't get a playoff win. So yeah.
Oh man. Yeah. Oh, I mean, God, we won the Super Bowl and haven't. I think we had one winning year that was 8-8 since. So that was. It's been a rough couple of years in Denver too. Don't worry.
I feel you. All right, Matt. Well, let's start with a question that Dan had for you. You know, you and Dan are pretty close to the same age. You know, how does it feel being as young as you are and to have raced at the level that you've raced, knowing that you are inspirational and you know, someone that people look up to from a racing perspective as young as you are?
Yeah, I'm really fortunate to kind of have the progression that I've had over the last, 10, 11 years now. And, you know, I've been with great teams and great manufacturers like Toyota. And, you know, my progress is definitely skyrocketed, but that's kind of the norm lately. And, you know, it's kind of crazy to think, you know, I was driving a truck at 17 and, you know, all this other stuff. So, you know, I'm very fortunate to be in the situation that I was in and in the situation that I am in now. So, yeah, I'm just really looking forward to getting behind the wheel this year again.
Absolutely. I could only imagine that itch that has to be. Like, it's, you know, you look, talk about people jonesing for, you know, whatever it may be, but the racing itch has got to be one of the strongest that there are.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Christian, you started young, legends, late models, all that kind of stuff. Walk us through just a little bit, you know, the early years, if you will.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I'll go through how I actually started racing. I started racing the Soapbox Derby, which I don't know if you know what that is or not, but it's basically, you know, a car with four wheels with no engine. And you just roll down a hill and race. And, you know, I've had interest in racing, you know, whatever, from 2005, 2004, somewhere in there. Me and my dad used to watch on Sundays NASCAR, and, you know, I got into motor racing. My dad's friend actually raced at a small track, Bethel Motor Speedway, up in New York, and they had the Bandolero division there, and I was like, oh, man, you know, that could be fun, and, you know, I kind of got behind the wheel and fell in love, and, you know, wrecked a bunch of stuff along the way, but got to where I am today, so I guess that's a plus.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Oh, and then where'd you go after that?
So, yeah, Legend Cars and Bandoleros with my parents. And then I went to go race a late model with Junior Motorsports. And then a super late model with, it was LFR chassis originally. Then it was Fury Race Cars. And then I went to, obviously, Venturi Motorsports and the ARCA series and Kyle Busch Motorsports with the truck.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Who'd you root for growing up?
Jimmy Johnson. Yeah, you know, I always used to like him. Yeah, I always used to like him because of his success in the early days, and then, you know, obviously his success kind of faltered there at the end. But you know, I met him a couple times, and, you know, I realized that, you know, I liked him because the fact that he was such a good guy and everything. So definitely one of my all-time heroes there.
That's cool. Did you get to, you know, meet up with him at all, or you know? I could only imagine how busy he was, you know, towards the last few weeks of the year there. Did you get to, you know, say anything to him or connect with him at all?
No, not really. I've only met him a couple times. I met him, you know, really after ARCA races. I met him after Kansas when I won the ARCA championship, and I met him for the first time at Lucas Oil, maybe in 2018. So yeah, I've only met him a handful of times, but, you know, every time it's kind of like, oh, wow, that's a celebrity right there. Right. It's kind of crazy.
Know, and the thing, you know, people are like that to you, like, oh man, that's a NASCAR truck driver, you know, and you're still just as awestruck with Jimmy Johnson walking past you.
I raced for Kyle for 3 years, and every time I sat next to him at the competition meeting, he's like, oh my god, I'm sitting next to Kyle Busch.
That's awesome. Oh, and I want to get into that in a little bit here. What did you do, any other sports besides, you know, the Bandoleros and all that stuff growing up, or was it all racing all the time?
Whew. I mean, I'm not athletic. I'll be straight up with you. I'm not an athlete whatsoever. I played lacrosse a little bit. I wasn't very good.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure I couldn't even hit the ball off the tee ball deal. So that was a little bit of an issue. I played soccer. I feel like I was okay at soccer, but yeah, I played some sports. I wasn't very good at any of them, though.
That's funny. let's talk about kind of like when you really got kind of up there in the series. Let's start with ARCA. You mentioned you raced with Venturini. You won the ARCA championship. Talk about the, you know, what you learned working with Venturini Motorsports. I mean, those guys, you know, they just pump out talent left and right. You know, talk about the ARCA field when you were there versus what we've got now. Talk a little bit about your years in ARCA.
Yeah, you know, I'm one of the few guys at Venturini that was, you know, there from start to finish of, you know, the kind of the rebuild and everything to get to where they were in 2019. Obviously, in 2020, they went down a little bit, but you know, I got there in 2016, ran four races, and we had four DNFs, and you know, we didn't run very well, and obviously we broke a lot. Yeah, I didn't wreck it, so that's a plus, especially for that year. I mean, I wrecked everything else. I just wrecked the ARCA car, so that's a good thing. Yeah, so we didn't have a good year there. We came back from 2017. We didn't break anything, but you know, we definitely didn't run. You know, to Venturini Motorsports is, you know, top thing, and you know, Billy Venturini and Kathy and Bill and Emily and everybody made a lot of big decisions over that year to get to where it was in 2018. And you know, it was definitely cool to be a part of that because, you know, I feel like from start to finish, we kind of went through good and then, you know, not good at all. And then we kind of brought it up to winning a championship. So, you know, it was really cool to be a part of that. And, you know, it's something that I'll always, always remember and always be thankful for.
Sure. No, that's awesome. Yeah. I love the ARCA series. You know, I don't get to watch it enough because the wife gets on me for trying to watch three series of NASCAR racing in a weekend for the show. But anytime that I can watch it or I can get to the track, and I talk to a lot of the ARCA guys on the show, you know, which is great. You know, Charles has been a big supporter of the show and all that. And I love supporting the younger guys coming up and helping them. And it's great to watch. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. The ARCA series is fun. Cause it's like one big family and, you know, even with NASCAR there, I know they made some changes that a lot of people don't agree with, but you know, the same aspect, it's still good old ARCA.
Sure. Yeah, no, for sure. Let's talk about the move over to KBM a little bit. You know, you did it coming off a successful ARCA championship. You had run 12 races with KBM prior to your full year there. You made the playoffs. You got knocked out round one, not of your own fault. You know, walk us through, you know, maybe the last year or so with KBM, the good and the bad there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've been there for 3 years now. You know, we showed a lot of success. I mean, we won the 2019 Owners Championship, and I was in the truck when we had to beat the other three guys at Homestead, and you know, we definitely had some success. You know, obviously last year wasn't as well as anybody imagined. You know, there was definitely a lot of missed opportunities, and you know, like you said, at Talladega there, you know, I don't make a stupid pit road mistake of driving through too many boxes. Maybe it was speeding, I don't know, something stupid. You know, we're moving on to the round of six and round of eight or whatever the hell it was, and you know, hopefully we put it together and we can make it to Phoenix. But you know, unfortunately we just missed it by that little much. And you know, throughout the year that's kind of just was how it went. We missed a lot of opportunities, and you know, unfortunately that's how we ended.
Yeah, no, and so it's, I love the truck series. I think the listeners of the show probably would say that may be even my favorite series. And the level of competition has just grown exponentially over the last couple of years. Like, you know, we look at, I wasn't the biggest fan of the truck series going from 8 to 10 playoff drivers, just because on any given week, you maybe only have 15 teams that are showing up on a full-time basis anyway. So to me, that was kind of like, all right, are we just handing out participation playoff spots at this point? Like, I really like the 8-team thing, but when I look back at the year 2020, man, the level of competition was there, and I think it justified having those 10 playoff spots.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, even this year, you know, there's whatever, 5 or 6 GMS teams, and you'll have your 3 KBM and however many Thor Sport, and, you know, all the good teams that are really stepping up and making a big commitment to the truck series. So it's definitely – I feel like it's the most competitive series in NASCAR, you know, obviously, you know, the Cup Series is a little bit ahead of that, but you know, it's definitely fun to race in. And you know, this year, especially with no practice and qualifying, it really relied on the teams to get the trucks perfect right away. So it was definitely fun to be a part of.
Absolutely. I tell you, you know, anyone that's coming up as a fan in the sport, you know, that I've had the opportunity to talk to or maybe gotten them to watch a race or two, it's, you know, start off in the trucks. You know, it's not 3.5 hours. You can get it in on a Friday night with some friends, you know, in the background, get a driver, start rooting for them, and boom, next thing you know, you're going to be hooked and starting a podcast.
Yeah, man, that is damn sure. I mean, it's nice with the truck series, at least, because of the fact that, you know, maybe it's an hour and a half, 2 hours.
Yeah.
With the Cup series, man, sometimes it's just like, oh, this is long. My eyes hurt.
They do, you know. It's as long as it's good racing. I'll sit for 6 hours. You know, but like,
yeah, no,
you know,
I'm with you.
We talk like about some of these.
When you're at Charlotte,
Coke 600 races.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yep.
God, the Coke 600 is painful sometimes.
Yeah, it can be. Yes.
The worst was the Brickyard with the old package. You just sit there and watch. Or the Xfinity race. The Xfinity race used to be so bad at Indy.
No, I'm with you. Yeah, you know,
I'm glad they went to the road course for that.
Road course is, you know, and I think that's, you know, in my opinion, and it is so possibly off the path of what the reality is, but it's like, to me, it's, you know, we got one more year with this car because of COVID and all that kind of stuff and the crazy 2020. You know, NASCAR adding some extra road courses and stuff like that. You know, to me, that might just be the Band-Aid to get us through, you know, this year before we get to the next car, and then everyone can complain about what they don't like when we get the new car and the racing package then. But, you know, at least they recognize that maybe a Band-Aid was needed for 2021 or something.
Yeah. So. No, I wish if they could go back to 2006, I'd be a happy man.
Yeah,
the old bodies, 900 horsepower. That's just
more horse.
It's so awesome to watch.
More horse, yes.
They got no ride height, and they're foot off the ground going down the straightaway. It's so awesome.
Yes.
I miss that.
I'm with you 100%. I want to get your thoughts. You know, I want to talk about Kyle Busch for a minute, because we all know Kyle Busch, the driver, the owner, the competitor. He's got very many different roles that we see as fans from a TV perspective. And, you know, if I'm going to use a WWE reference, you know, he plays the heel very well. But behind the scenes, you know, what's the coach Kyle Busch like versus, you know, the Kyle Busch that we see on the post-race interview?
Yeah, you know, Kyle's, you know, throughout the 3 years I was there, he was super, you know, team oriented and always wanted to help us. You know, we talked probably once a week, as much as I could and as much as he can, you know, talking about what we can do better and, you know, talking about especially, you know, with COVID and everything, we really didn't know. We didn't have practice. We didn't have anything. So, you know, having Kyle as a resource there was definitely a big thing. And, you know, obviously even after, you know, I left KBM and stuff, he's still willing to help us out. You know, he's let me use a couple seats to start the year. So, you know, Kyle's definitely a good dude, and I think he gets kind of misplayed in the media as this, you know, mean guy, but he definitely has always been really nice to me, so I can't say nothing bad about him for sure.
That's awesome. You know, the fans, hey, you know, you got to have – I think the reason from a fan perspective people say or have the feelings they do is because for a long time, if – Kyle Busch won, that mean your driver wasn't winning. So totally get the passion and all that from the fan perspective. You know, and I think he's misinterpreted a lot as well from the fan and media in terms of, you know, mean and competitive could probably be misconstrued quite a bit. And it's just the competitive nature. And it took me as a fan a long time to really see and be able to come with that objective perspective. And I think that's great. Yeah. He is amazing for the sport. And there would be a lot. There'd be a big gap to fill if Kyle Busch was not a part of our sport.
Absolutely. And, you know, when he gets a little angry on the radio and everything, it's just because the guy wants to win, and you know, it's no different with his truck team. He just wants everybody to win, and that's what he lives, breathes, and sleeps.
Absolutely, I'm with you. All right, let's talk a little bit about iRacing. You've got a pretty decent presence out there on the iRacing series and all that kind of stuff. What do you got going on over there?
Man, I haven't iRaced in a while, to be honest. I mean, I had a full setup, and like I was pretty good there for you know, the early part of my career, but you know, I really haven't done much with it here lately. During COVID and stuff, I won a couple, you know, the bigger races, but you know, honestly, it just sits there and collects dust, if we're being honest.
That's great.
It's pretty ratty, if we're going to be honest. I had a Butler built seat. It's actually the seat I won the Snowball Derby in with my Super Late model. And I had the bright idea to mount it to like this random racing cockpit I had.
Yeah.
And it doesn't fit and it looks terrible. And it's, I went to Home Depot and bought like, I had to buy like 100 washers to put it together. It's really rough, man. Like it's all rusty now too, cause it's just sat forever and it's ratty. I mean, it's a nice sim. Like it has nice parts on it. It's just not very like put together well.
Oh, that's funny, man. Like,
yeah.
I had almost convinced my wife. I was like, you know what? We just put and redid this awesome man cave down here. And during COVID, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to buy a sim and I'm going to get into this. And I have yet to pull the trigger, and I'm glad, you know, cause the pomp and circumstance behind it was great during COVID. You know, it gave the fans something to tune in and watch and all that kind of stuff. Man, if I were to throw that into the other hobbies and the show and like golf, like, man, I wouldn't be able to work because I'd be too damn busy. So I'm glad that never came to fruition for me. So
sometimes it gets expensive too, man. Like you got to buy all the cars and the tracks, and you got to buy a computer, and the computer always goes bad after 2 years. Like every time the iRacing updates that thing, it's like Apple. Like every time they come out with a new phone, the other one just magically goes to crap.
It's crazy how that happens, isn't it?
Yeah. It's funny how it works. Yeah.
All right, man. So 2021, the season is right around the corner. What type of perspectives are out there? Anything you can talk about?
Nothing I can talk about yet, but I do have a deal done that will be announced shortly.
Awesome.
So that's all I can say.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Hey, I love the hook. So that's awesome.
Stay tuned. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram and everything, and get my followers up. Yeah, just that's you'll find it there.
Excellent. All right. Well, speaking of that, where can everyone keep up with you on social media?
It's just my name, at Christian Eckes, ChristianEckes. It's that easy. Just two words. Two words.
Two
that's
words,
it.
Two
you,
words.
All you gotta do is hit the follow button too.
Absolutely.
That's all you gotta do. I'm almost at 10,000 on Twitter. If I can get 10,000 on Twitter, it'll make me smile.
Well,
don't you wanna make Christian Eckes smile?
Absolutely. Let's see.
Yeah.
You know what? I tell you what, I'm gonna use that as the audio preview for the show. So let's see what we can do in terms of getting Christian Eckes to 10,000. So
yeah, it'll make me smile.
Excellent. Let's make Christian smile. I love it. Oh, man. Well, Lap Traffic Nation, huge thanks to Christian Eckes for calling into the show tonight. Christian, man, it was great to catch up with you. Good luck in the rest of the off-season planning. Can't wait to hear the news and all that good stuff. And hopefully I can get you back on before another 68 shows go by.
Absolutely, man. Just text me anytime. I had a blast.
I appreciate it. Thanks so much, man. Stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll talk to you soon, man.
You too, brother.
See ya. Wow, Lap Traffic Nation, how cool is Christian Eckes right there? And I am pumped to hear about what ride he's going to be able to announce here very soon. So go follow so you stay up to date on that. Okay, I think it's time for a little Lap Traffic social media. Everybody, make sure you go check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com, Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast, Instagram and Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC, YouTube, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Listen to the show on iTunes, Podbean, all that good stuff. Hell, you can even tell Alexa to play the Lap Traffic Podcast, and she will, which is really cool. I announced it last week. I mentioned it at the top of the show. New giveaway to kick off 2021 and season 5 of Lap Traffic Podcast and all that good stuff. And that is a Clint Bowyer 124 diecast, the back-to-back world champs paint scheme that he ran late in the summer of 2020. Just came in the mail a couple weeks ago. So I thought, what the hell? This would be cool. So at 5,500 Twitter followers, I will give that away to one lucky follower that retweets and has tagged three friends. I keep track of it all. Trust me. I've got an Excel sheet going. There are over 150 people that have already done that, which is awesome. Keep it going. Please tag people that don't follow the show that maybe will follow, that are NASCAR fans and all that good stuff. And speaking of some new followers, yes, new follower shout-outs are back. Great. Braden Bunn at SmoothOper880R. That's a great name. That was a great way to do that. I love it. NASCAR fan from Ontario and co-host of Race Canada Fanside Podcast, which is pretty sweet. Go check that out for sure. We got Robin at RORO Land 88, Big Larson and Dirt Fan. I know you're excited for the season to kick off. And Jeremy Stewart at Jeremy_S86, another Canadian and big NASCAR fan. Welcome to the show, guys. Hope you like it. Tell your friends, all that good stuff. Stickers and koozies are available for free. If you want one, go to the website, fill out the contact page, and I will send them out to you. And all right, I thought, all right, why not recap the rules for the 2021 Lap Traffic Fantasy League, and then we'll close it out with some silly season. All right, the 2021 NASCAR season is fast approaching, and so too is the 2021 Lap Traffic Fantasy League. Registration is open. If you played last year and you responded with that you want to play this year, you're already registered. You don't have to do anything but wait for my barrage of emails to start trickling in sooner rather than later. But if you have not played and you would like to play, all you got to do is go send an email to fantasylaptraffic@gmail.com. All picks will be submitted via that email as well. Make sure that you give me your name, your email, and your Twitter account. All picks will be due by Thursday before race weekend starts, all that good stuff. The rules are on the website for that. I'm just going to highlight some important stuff, such as if all three series are running, you will pick drivers from all three series. You can only select a cup driver who made the 2020 playoffs once per segment. Example, if you pick Joey Logano for the Daytona 500, you couldn't pick him again until segment two starts with COTA on May 23rd. If a driver did not make the cup playoffs in 2020, you can select that driver as many times as you want in any series, which means Kyle Larson is full game for the entire year, every race if you wanted. I wouldn't necessarily advise that, but that's a possibility if you want to do it. Points earned by all your drivers for that week will be added together. Those will be your points for the week. Scores will be calculated based on that. If penalties are given before the point standings are published, they'll apply. And new this year, bonus points. For every cup race winner picked, you'll get a bonus point that'll carry over to the playoffs if you make the playoffs. Also, bonus points for weekly high winner, which will also carry over to the playoffs if you make the playoffs. And last, bonus points. If you win segment one or two, you'll get an extra 5 bonus points, and you're automatically in the playoffs if you win segments one and or two, which means if you are outside of the top 16 but you won segment one or two, you might be knocking somebody out that's just in on points. Yes, that's right. I've tried to make it as mirror to NASCAR as possible. I think these new changes are going to be fun and exciting. Segments 1 through 13 will include the first 13 cup races, as well as any truck and Xfinity races that happen to be in there. Segment 2 will be COTA to Daytona, including an all-star bonus, which if you pick the all-star race winner, 15 bonus points, not playoff bonus points, just regular bonus points, and that will not count towards your pick. And all that good stuff. And then segment 3 will be the 10 race elimination with the usual prizes, some custom trophies, and all that good stuff. The guest pickers are back. The rest is pretty similar to the years past. So I'm really excited about the additions and the changes this year. So that's the Fantasy League in a nutshell. Any questions, feel free to email me, reach out to me, DM me, send a tweet, whatever you got to do. Just come play and tell your friends to come have some fun in the 2021 Lap Traffic Fantasy League. All right. Now, Lap Traffic Nation, I mean, we can't be this close, and I really haven't done anything silly season yet to kind of recap, set the scene, all that kind of good stuff. And here's the thing. I know we all know most of what has gone on and all that kind of stuff. So I just want to just give my 2 cents. I mean, hey, if you're 34 minutes into my show, then you might actually care what I have to say. So what the hell? I figured I'd just kind of run through some of the main topics that maybe have just been posted to jayski.com as of late. So thank you, jayski.com, for always providing some of the most organized. I appreciate great organization. As you all know, I'm an organized guy, so I appreciate Jayski's organization. Just some stuff that they've mentioned and highlighted, some things that have gone down, and just my two cents on it. The first of which is Pitbull.
Yeah, take a picture of me with a Kodak. Took my life from negative to positive. I just want y'all to know that. And tonight, let's enjoy life. Pitbull, Naya, Neo, that's right.
Yes, let's have some fun tonight. That song, actually, fun fact, back in 2011, September 24th, to be the exact date, was the bridal party entrance song that Lindsay and I used. So, pretty cool. Anyways, Pitbull coming to NASCAR. Let me tell you why I think that's awesome. It's awesome because it's another huge name, just like Michael Jordan, outside of the sport itself that is going to start bringing brand awareness to the sport that's outside the sport. It's someone who's going to be investing money in the sport, might bring new advertisers to the sport that might invest money in the sport, your favorite driver, your track, etc. And there's no negative about that. Whether you like the music or not is irrelevant. It's new money into the sport, new money being invested into the sport, which is just going to help the sport itself get out there more. So I'm pumped. I'm ecstatic. I love it. I love every second about it. So there's my two cents on Pitbull. One thing I want to talk about is, do you guys realize that there could be between 40 and 50 entrants for the Daytona 500? It's going to be freaking awesome that we're going to get to watch 7 to 10 guys battle it out for four spots between qualifying and the duels. And that's fantastic. Again, that's just it, coming off the year that a lot of people have had, to have that many extra entries is fantastic. You know, there were years we didn't have full fields, and boom, we're going to have a full field, which is cool. And we're going to have some excitement leading up to setting that full field, which is fantastic. And I love every second about that. All right. Now, I just want to run through some names here, and like I said, just give my take. Christopher Bell, obviously, moving to the 20. I think a lot of people thought if there was going to be a rookie winner last year that it would have been Christopher Bell. Didn't happen. Moving from the expansion team, though, over to the main team this year, I really think there's a fast increase in Christopher Bell's top tens. And I would not be stunned if Christopher Bell, sophomore year, gets to victory lane. And also, you guys know I love me Samantha Benedetto. Sophomore year at Wood Brothers. I wouldn't be surprised. I think Matt D needs to get to victory lane to pick up that 100th win for Wood Brothers. You know, it's tough. You know, I've said it for years. Matt D needs, you know, a 2 or 3 year deal so that he doesn't have to worry about fighting for his life, or you know, a new contract, can just kind of settle in, get comfortable, get in rhythm. You know, he's getting that second year, but I mean, it's basically the writing's on the wall that he's going to be out at the end of the year. So again, he's kind of fighting for another contract with another team, basically, which is a bummer that he just can't get a consistent seat. But the fact that it's year two, he knows the organization now. He's been with the team. You know, I think I really hoped Matt would have gotten a win last year, but I think the probability is greater this year that it could happen. And man, I hope it does. I know there's a lot of Matt DiBenedetto fans that listen and that want that as well. So hopefully that pans out there. Alex Bowman. Has anybody had bigger shoes to fill than Alex Bowman? Took over the 88 for Junior, now taking over the 48 for Jimmy Johnson. I mean, you just get to put that on the resume, and that kind of speaks for itself. He had a bunch of success last year, and I'm excited to see what he's able to do this year for sure. Ross Chastain moving from Xfinity to Chip Ganassi. You know, Ross was the one guy that I thought might have had the first shot at the trifecta championship, if you will. You know, a couple years ago, he declared for the truck championship back in 2019. Thought he was going to have it in the bag the way he was running. Once he made the declaration he was going to run for it, then had that win taken away, and then kind of went on that tear. And I thought Ross was going to be the truck champ that year. He runs full-time Xfinity last year, And I, like a lot of you, expected him to be in contention last year. It just never came to fruition. But, hey, Ross is a wheel man. I'm excited to see his hard work and patience finally pay off as he gets the shot that he so greatly deserves this year with Chip Ganassi Racing. So I'm excited about that. Eric Jones. Moving to the 43, obviously. This one I'm personally vested in. You know, Eric's a Michigan guy. I've talked to Eric quite a few times. You know, I was on the press conference call that they did earlier late last year. I love Eric Jones, and I'm excited to see what the new change of scenery does. You know, you hear that all the time in sports. You know, can a change of scenery revitalize somebody's career and things of that nature? I'm excited to see how he performs with all the resources of the team behind him. And I'm excited to see what RPM can do. You know, there's been talks. It feels like every year, oh, RPM's, you know, not going to be back in the sport next year. They don't have enough funding. They don't have enough this. They don't have enough advertising. You know, they keep coming back. You know, hopefully this year can, you know, be a turning point with new driver and all that kind of stuff for RPM and moving in the right direction. You know, there's only 36 wins to be collected throughout the year, you know, and you look at the year like Kevin Harvick had last year with 9 wins, Denny Hamlin, I think it was 8 wins, you know, Chase Elliott, 4 or 5 wins, you know, and everyone's putting 6 or 7 wins in Chase Elliott's win column next year already with the road courses, you know, so the level of competition is just so strong. And, you know, as these teams like RPM, RCR, you know, if Roush can come back, you know, you look at Roush where they were in the early 2000s and the wins that they had and Hendrick coming. I mean, there's only so many wins to go around, and the greater the competition, you know, hopefully the less fans have to complain. And it just means things are trending in the right direction. So, you know, can RCR get a win with Tyler Reddick this year? Maybe. Can Eric Jones get a win at RPM? Does Christopher Bell get a win? You know, there's, you know, Alex Bowman. You got William Byron, who finally got into the win column, you know, and then you still have your Kevin Harvicks, your Kurt Busches, your Kyle Busches. You know, Kyle Busch only winning one race last year opened the door for so many other drivers to go and collect wins. I think they went to Kevin Harvick's column, you know, but you look at that perspective and it's like, all right, well, what if Kyle Busch has another slump? You know, who can step up to the plate and start getting those wins? I don't expect Kyle Busch to have that type of year, but if you look at, all right, I just said, you know, what if Chase Elliott picks up almost every win at the road courses, you know, 4 or 5 of them? What if Kyle Busch gets back to winning fashion, you know, 4 or 5 plus wins? You got Denny I mean, you got all these guys that you expect to get these multiple wins, but then you got guys coming up the ranks like Tyler Reddick, Alex Bowman, William Byron, Ross Chastain, Kyle Larson's back in the fold now, right? He's the next guy I'm going to talk about. You know, there's only so many wins, and it's so much fun to watch this level of competition from that regard and to see what these guys are able to do. And that long-winded left turn was just to say, I want RCR, RPM, and Roush back in the mix, just because it just makes it that much more fun, that more interesting for the fans. It keeps everybody happy. It keeps the stands filled. Once we can get the stands filled again and all that good stuff. So I'm very excited for that. Now, Kyle Larson, the number 5, back on the track for the HMS stable. I think the last time we saw the 5 car on the track was back when Kyle Busch took over for Mark Martin at HMS. So it's definitely been a minute. I think this is a change that the entire fan base is curious about. You know, Larson went on a tear there for a few years back at the 2-mile tracks. Then he kind of went on that winless streak. We all know why he was out last year. Did what he had to do. We'll be back in the saddle again this year with Chevy. And HMS had one of their best years since, I would say, 2016 was the last year that Chevy made some noise. That was the last year Jimmy Johnson won and all that. And I would bet Kyle Larson is able to help keep that momentum going for Chevy and HMS. You know, there isn't anything he didn't win in this past summer in all the different series and cars that he drove, and he's fresh off the Chili Bowl win this past weekend for the second year in a row. You know, Kyle Larson's on everyone's radar, and he damn well should be. So Kyle's going to be fun to watch. You know, we got Daniel Suarez. This is an interesting one for me. You know, so Suarez moving to the 99 for Trackhouse Racing. You know, Suarez hit, you know, it was a disappointing season last year. And I say that because, you know, he isn't happy with the finishes. But in the grand scheme of things, you got to look at it from a realistic perspective based on the team, the budget, all that. You know, what really was the potential capabilities of that team last year? And I would say that it was hard for him to compete. I think I said this before, you know, that it was like Clint Bowyer hopping in some of the ride he had to hop into before he was able to get the seat at SHR. You know, when you just know you've got the talent, but you don't have the equipment behind you, it's just got to be so frustrating. But hopefully with the new team, we'll be able to build some cars that Suarez is able to improve on the season he had last year, for sure. All right. The last one, the one everyone's excited for. It's Bubba Wallace in the 23. You know, new owners, new driver, new team. Bubba to move to the 23. We've got Denny Hamlin and MJ as co-owners. Last team owner to drive while owning, I think it was Stewart at the Cup level, and that was his own team. You know, obviously we got Kyle Busch, but he doesn't own his own Cup team. You know, so. My thing with this is, and I'm curious to see this, is, you know, how will the conflict of interest with Denny pan out? You know, because obviously he's going to report stuff back to Joe Gibbs Racing. He's going to want to give feedback to his own Cup team now because he's got vested interest. You know, and the other thing is Cup driver's time, man. It is spread thin to begin with, you know, between, well, if we ever get practices and qualifying and all that back, plus appearances and you know, sponsorship requirements, family requirements, all that kind of stuff. Now add team ownership to Denny Hamlin's already busy schedule, you know, and meeting with new advertisers and sponsors of your own team. You know, luckily, Denny's got FedEx in the bank for his own team, so he doesn't necessarily have to worry about going out and trying to attract new sponsors for his own team. But Denny's going to be spread thin, and I'm curious to see how that impacts his on-track racing. I think that'll be something to watch for sure. Now, over to Bubba. Everybody loves Bubba. You know, he couldn't get those last few pieces together, it felt like, at RPM to drive and to move to that next level. You know, it felt like, you know, maybe he'd break a top 10, top 15, you know, but he just constantly felt like 15th to 25th, you know, didn't get the top 10s, the top 5s on that consistent basis, you know. So now, here he is, new team and all that. And so what's the realistic expectation for this team? For me, you know, if they're able to pull off 7 to 10 top 10s and maybe 15 top 15s, I think you would have to call year one a success for that team and that organization. I'm excited to see what they're able to do. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch between the driver changes, the new tracks. I mean, man, I'm excited. Is it time for Daytona yet? I think we're a few days away still. But needless to say, I'm excited. That's for sure. All right. Lap Traffic Nation, I think we're gonna call it quits for tonight. That's going to do it for episode 217 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. Make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC. Subscribe, download. Go sign up for the Lap Traffic Fantasy League. Shoot me an email at Send me an email, fantasylaptraffic@gmail.com. And all that good stuff. Huge thanks to Christian Eckes for calling in the show. Next week, the official kickoff of Season 5 of the Lap Traffic Podcast with CJ Wolliver. Don't get caught chasing the lucky dog. Make sure you tune in each and every week to the Lap Traffic Podcast. See ya!